you for that question, because I think that leads really nicely into what I'm going to talk about, which is tools to get you started with health and all policies. So as Julia talked about, this work is really about relationship building, and you can leave building those relationships to chance and seeing how things go, but there are actually a number of things that we did in California and that you can do that will really help you better build relationships and really get folks who aren't public health professionals, who don't know about the social determinants of health, to really understand what you're trying to do. The other reason that you might want to do a number of the things that I'm going to talk about is because it can be really easy to focus on one win, on a big tobacco win or a safe routes to school program, but there's a bigger vision that is part of health and all policies around structural change and really embedding health into the way that we do business. And so it's really important to have a vision for the work you're doing and really stay focused on sort of the healthy community idea and what we're trying to achieve. I have no relationships to disclose, and Linda already mentioned our acknowledgments. So I'm going to talk today about three different tools that can help you get started with your Health and All Policies initiative. These are tools that the California Health and All Policies Task Force used. And as Julia mentioned, we needed to bring together 18 agencies. Some didn't know each other at all, had never met. Some had pre-existing relationships that were good or bad. And so there was really a need to bring all of these agencies together. So I'm going to talk about the Healthy Community Framework, aspirational goals, and root cause mapping. And while I'll mention how California used these tools, I think they can all really be used in ways that are appropriate for the context that you're working in. So the Healthy Community Framework is really kind of what Linda did with you all, is really to ask what is a healthy community and let people think about it. It's a really nice way to get people to start thinking about the social determinants of health in a way that's visual and tangible. Social determinants of health is jargony, health and all policies is kind of jargony, but what is a healthy community? What does a healthy community mean to you? Isn't. It's something that people can really visualize and think about. At the first meeting of the California Health and All Policies Task Force, the task force was actually asked, when you hear the term healthy community and you think about the health of yourself, your family, and kids, what comes to mind? And the responses really showed, like what all of you did, that people intuitively understood that health happens in schools, it happens in neighborhoods, it happens in workplaces, and that our environments really do impact our health. So the staff took what came out of that meeting and through a series of stakeholder workshops actually developed a healthy community framework, which is on the inside of the four pager that you have, so you can actually take a look at that. And creating this healthy community framework was really foundational for the task force's vision and created a map for health and all policies related endeavors in California. One of the exciting things that then came out of that healthy community framework is that the California Department of Public Health is actually now working on a Healthy Communities Indicators Project. So really turning this healthy community framework into a set of indicators so that different sectors, public health and others, can really have indicators to use in planning healthy communities and evaluating the impact of plans, projects, policy, and environmental changes on community health. The project's also working on collecting data that's at different geographic scales. One of the things that we really heard from communities was that they needed more granular level data, that often the only thing available to them was state or county level, but that especially when looking at inequities, they really needed neighborhood level data and, when available, census tract data. And so this Healthy Communities Indicators Project is really trying to collect and make available data for communities that is at those lower granular levels. Staff are working on the indicators, and a number of them have begun to be piloted and are available online. There's also information about data sources, bibliographic references, methods, and limitations. As you can see, there's also maps and charts that are starting to be available, and that's all on California Department of Public Health website, and I can share that website for people who are interested. And while all of the data is California specific, it can provide a model for other states, and I hope you'll take a look at that website. So, aspirational goals. One thing that's a challenge in health and all policies, I think, is the all part, because health and all policies can go in any direction, but it's not possible to do everything, especially not at once. So developing aspirational goals like all residents live in safe, healthy, and affordable housing can provide opportunities to discuss the social determinants of health and build a cohesive vision while also thinking broadly. Aspirational goals can also be useful because if they use simple language, they will enable you to easily share your vision with others. In California, at the first meeting of the task force, staff provided two sample goals to frame the discussion, and at subsequent meetings, the group developed a total of 6 aspirational goals. They're aligned with the Healthy Communities framework, and the goal's simple language has made it easy for staff, other agencies, the public, and policymakers to understand and share a vision with the task force. So I wanted to provide a couple of examples of what aspirational goals might look like. So for example, one might be all children and youth will receive high-quality childcare and educational opportunities that foster and promote their ability to develop, be healthy, and achieve their highest potential. Another is all residents will have preparation and opportunities to engage in meaningful work with living wages and healthy, safe, and family-friendly working conditions. All residents will live in communities free of racism and discrimination. And all residents will have opportunities for meaningful engagement and input into civic affairs and the policy decisions that impact their lives and futures. So as you can see, these are broad, but also specific, and use simple language that can really be shared. Next, I want to talk about root cause mapping, which is a structured process for identifying key factors contributing to community health problems. And root cause mapping is a tool that repeatedly asks why as you move upstream to help people identify the causes of causes or the social determinants of the issues they seek to address. It can illustrate opportunities for change, overlapping roles that various sectors play in contributing to healthy environments. It can be useful in the beginning of a collaborative process because it can help people see the mutual benefits that could arise from working together. So I want to give an example of what root cause mapping might look like, which is the story of Jason, a hypothetical child who's in the hospital. So you might ask, why is Jason in the hospital? Because he has a bad infection in his leg. But why does he have an infection? Because he has a cut on his leg and it got infected. But why does he have a cut on his leg? Because he was playing in the junkyard next to his apartment, and there was some sharp, jagged steel that he fell on. But why was he playing in a junkyard? Because his neighborhood is kind of run down, a lot of kids play there, and there's no one to supervise them. But why does he live in that neighborhood? Because his parents can't afford a nicer place to live. But why can't his parents afford a nicer place to live? Because his dad is unemployed and his mom is sick. But why is his dad unemployed? Because he doesn't have much education and he can't find a job. But why? So drawing an initial route map can be a first step in a more comprehensive process that includes a structured assessment of which root causes appear frequently, which have a higher or lower impact, which agencies or stakeholders might address each identified cause, and which root causes seem feasible to address given resource and political constraints. So here's an example that looks at the causal factors of obesity. As you move from left to right, the map expands and shows opportunities to identify specific policy or programmatic changes. So, for example, we have obesity to too many calories in, which is caused by a lack of access to healthy foods, which is caused by limited transportation options, which is caused by people being unwilling to walk further, which is caused by the fear of crime. In California, Health and All Policies Task Force members used a root cause mapping exercise to help elucidate the complexity of the interrelated determinants of health and outline a need for Health and All Policies. The task force actually did this activity together, and I'll show a sample of the result. They did this in real time on butcher paper in small groups. And then participants actually noted places on the map where their agencies were involved or could be involved. The process helped members visualize the complexity of the problems and the necessity and promise of intersectoral collaboration. So here's two real-life examples. The top one was actually the result of the task force. I know it's hard to see, but the idea of these is really just to show you that these are messy. A root cause map likely isn't the end product, the map itself, but really what comes out of it in the discussion. You can see on that map there's in red is where the task force members actually started adding their agencies as places where they could be involved along the causal line. The bottom map is actually from a training with public health professionals in arthritis. And the stickers, I don't know if you can see, there's little orange stickers, and that's actually where organizations wrote where they're already doing work. So it's actually a really nice opportunity for organizations who thought that they really weren't doing social determinants of health work to see how they were already involved and also see the gaps and see places where there were opportunities to get involved. So these are just two samples to show that root cause mapping, depending on what you're trying to do, can go in a lot of different directions. And finally, I just want to mention one more time the new Health and All Policies guide that was recently put out. And in the guide, we talk about all of these different tools. And so if you're interested, definitely take a look at the guide. We also have a lot of resources for those interested in more. So these were just a couple of tools. I know that there's a lot of different tools that can be used to get individuals together and build vision, but I hope this was helpful.